Chapter 13, Corruption as a Crime Against the State and the Poor. At the 2016 CAS Accountability Now conference held in Boksburg, Mary Jane Ngubi, then Executive Director of the Transparency International Zimbabwe chapter, related some statistics to delegates that still make interesting reading today. Various internationally acclaimed surveys from reputable institutions tell us that the developing world loses $10 through corruption for every $1 in aid. That's the UNDP. $1 trillion is paid in bribes per year, according to the World Bank. 2.1 trillion of assets are illegally moved across borders, according to the UN Organization Against Drugs and Crime. 3.1 trillion is lost through tax evasion and other evasions to tax havens. 50 to 80 billion a year is lost in illicit financial flows. While the numbers are obviously important, the impact of corruption on the state and on its ability to deliver services to the poor are often not regarded as factors which compound the gravity of the situation that is brought about by the combined effect of corruption in all forms. There is a myth that corruption is a victimless crime. Nothing could be further from the truth, as the research in the field reveals. According to the World Economic Forum in 2018, cited with approval by the UN Secretary General, corruption breeds disillusion with government and governance and is often the root of political dysfunction and social disunity. Secretary General Antonio Guterres told the 15-member Security Council, which bears the mandate for the maintenance of international peace and security, noting that corruption can also be a driver of conflict, upon which it thrives and is linked to such forms of instability as illicit trafficking in arms, drugs and people, terrorism and violent extremism. He stresses that the problem is present in all nations, rich and poor, north and south, developed and developing. Citing estimates by the World Economic Forum, he said the global cost of corruption is at least $2.6 trillion, or 5% of the global gross domestic product, adding that, according to the World Bank, businesses and individuals pay more than $1 trillion in bribes every year. A collaborative effort between Transparency International and Afrobarometer in 2019 is also instructive. TI briefed Afrobarometer to conduct a scientific survey of the African experience of corruption in 35 countries around the continent. The results of the survey were published in mid-2019. Over 47,000 interviews were conducted among scientifically selected sample populations. The outcome of the survey does not make for pleasing reading. Nevertheless, both organizations should be commended for shining light into the darker recesses of the lived experience of Africans. According to a carefully crafted media report published by Legal Brief on the survey, it reveals that more than one in four people who accessed public services during the previous year had to pay a bribe. A majority of citizens surveyed in 35 African countries think that corruption is getting worse and that their government is doing a poor job of fighting it, the report indicates. The 10th edition of the Barometer is the largest and most detailed survey of citizens' views on bribery and other forms of corruption in Africa. It highlights that corruption disproportionately affects the poorest citizens, who have to pay bribes twice as often as the richest to access public services such as health care and police assistance. It found that more than half, 55%, of all citizens think that corruption in their country increased in the previous 12 months. Only 23% think it declined. And just 1 in 3 citizens thinks their government is doing a good job at fighting corruption, while 59% rate their government's performance as bad. It should be noted that the survey is not merely of the perceptions of corruption, but also the lived experience of Africans. As many governments in Africa have committed themselves to achieving the Sustainable Development Goals set by the United Nations, it is clear that there is work to be done on the building and nurturing of strong institutions of state that can be used to prevent and combat the corrupt. SDG number 16 contemplates strong institutions of state. Many, indeed most African states, are committed to the UN Convention Against Corruption, which obliges them to establish and maintain adequately independent institutions to tackle corruption. It can be seen from successive iterations of the Rule of Law Index produced by the World Justice Project that no country it surveys is immune from corruption. The absence of corruption factor never reaches a perfect score. The lower the score on this factor, the poorer the quality of life of citizens in countries in which corruption is particularly rife or at least very present. It does not have to be so if properly thought through strategies are developed to counter the corrupt. The IMF, in a 2019 report, has observed that corruption corrodes the government's ability to help grow the economy in a way that benefits all citizens. The primary way in which most governments generate funding is through the collection of taxes. The ability to do so effectively and efficiently is affected by the levels of corruption in the world. Less corrupt countries collect taxes more efficiently than their more corrupt counterparts at the same level of development. The IMF research has revealed, through empirical research conducted, that we analyze more than 180 countries and find that more corrupt countries collect fewer taxes as people pay bribes to avoid them, including through tax loopholes designed in exchange for kickbacks. Also, when taxpayers believe their governments are corrupt, they are more likely to evade paying taxes. We show that, overall, the least corrupt governments collect 4% of GDP more in tax revenues than countries of the same level of economic development with the highest levels of corruption. A few countries' reforms generated even higher revenues. Georgia, for example, reduced corruption significantly and tax revenues more than doubled, rising by 13 percentage points of GDP between 2003 and 2008. Rwanda's reforms to fight corruption since the mid-1990s bore fruit, and tax revenues increased by 6 percentage points of GDP. The prevalence of corruption in any country prevents its people, particularly poor people, from benefiting fully from the exploitation of natural resources such as oil and minerals. Exploitation of oil and mining are activities which generate huge profits. These mega profits create the temptation for corruption. An example of the daughter of the president of oil-rich Angola, Isabel dos Santos, becoming the richest woman in Africa shows that the temptation was irresistible for her. Countries lucky enough to be blessed with oil and mineral reserves tend to have weaker governance and higher levels of corruption. The way in which public expenditure is conducted in less corrupt states is far more efficient than in those that are more corrupt. The public procurement process is bedeviled by kickbacks, bribes, inefficiencies, and the bloating of budgets to swell amounts diverted to the corrupt. The IMF estimates that the most corrupt emerging market economies waste twice as much in monetary terms as the least corrupt ones. The wastage is not to the advantage of the poor. Finally, the IMF researchers remark on the effect of corruption on the efficiency of public expenditure. Corruption also distorts government priorities. For example, Among low-income countries, the share of the budget dedicated to education and health is one-third lower in more corrupt countries. It also impacts the effectiveness of social spending. In more corrupt countries, school-age students have lower test scores. Curbing corruption is a challenge that requires persevering on many fronts, but one that pays huge dividends. It starts with political will, continuously strengthening institutions to promote integrity and accountability, and global cooperation. It is possible, some might say optimistic, to view the UN SDGs as an embryonic manifestation of the political will to get to grips with the debilitating effects of grand corruption in all states. Certainly, those goals that aim to reduce poverty and hunger and address inequality will be more readily achieved in a world in which strong institutions are able to put an end to the culture of impunity. This culture is currently enjoyed by far too many kleptocrats who are undeterred by the measures to counter corruption now in place in countries afflicted by it. The poor, who are killed and prejudicially affected by the ravages of corruption, can only benefit from the generation of the political will that is required to hold the corrupt to account with success. In a better post-pandemic world, it is to be hoped that the UN SDGs, aimed at eliminating poverty and hunger and at addressing inequality, will be achieved. This goal is possible if strong institutions of government are put in place to counter the drain on public resources that kleptocracy causes at present. Those resources, thus freed up, can then be used to address hunger, poverty, and inequality.